Hope sees possibilities that faith makes happen. Faith, faith, faith. You know, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Just, righteous, it's the same word. Righteous shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. I mean, he says it in Habakkuk 2:4. He says it in Romans 1:17. He says it in Galatians 3:11. And he says it in Hebrews 10:38. Four times he says the same things. Anytime God says the same thing four times, I mean, you know, it's important. You can't get saved without faith. Faith pleases God. It's impossible to please God without faith. So I think faith is important, and it should be an absolute priority in our life to walk by faith.
Amen.
Amen? Faith is a way of life, and in order to live a life of faith, we need to know more about faith, don't we?
Amen.
It looks for an environment to operate freely in faith, you know? How does it work? How do we get it? What does it do? How do we get it to work in our life? These are the questions that we need to understand about faith. Let me say this too. The people that I have known that are really real faith people, they don't just preach it, but they're real faith people. I think of Brother Hagin, my father in the faith, Kenneth Copeland, Oral Roberts, Charles Capps, Jerry Savelle, men who have overcome. Jerry Savelle had a stroke. He was totally paralyzed, couldn't do a thing. But he was but he could believe. And as long as he could move his mouth, I mean, he could move a mountain. I mean, that's what Paul and Silas found out too when they were in prison. See, the devil should have taped their mouth shut. But he made a big mistake. Praise God. But here's the thing about people of faith is that they never had to make adjustments just to meet the times, the economic situations, adverse conditions, problems in their family, problems in their marriage. They never had to make changes. They were consistent and just stood on the Word of God. Faith, 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 faith. Remember Reverend Schombach? There's another one. Faith! Yeah, I love Brother Schombach. He was good. Praise God. But you see, consistency, consistency. And the more you remain consistent in your life, the more you will recognize something that is opposing the Word of God, something that is opposing the truth, something that is coming at you the wrong way, something to get you into fear, something to unsettle you and get you feeling for security somewhere. It'll go off in you like alarm. The more you're consistent, the more you will recognize the enemy's attack, his agenda in your life, and you will be able to walk free from it. Consistency. Follow those who through faith and patience, says, inherit the, and that word follow means imitate those who through faith and patience. Praise God. How do we know that we're living by faith? How do you know when you're living by faith? Well, it's kind of like a rebound. When an adverse condition comes your way, you hear, I mean, this nation is in an unsustainable debt situation, $33 trillion. And now what they want to do is spend $2 trillion more than they're taking in next year. So here's the thing. We're getting to an unsustainable amount. So they're saying, you see the TV, all these gold advertisements and silver advertisements. They're saying the economy is going to, we're in danger here. And the warning signs are there. But what ought to come out of our heart, because we are living by faith, is no financial destruction. I'm not attached to that. I am connected with God. I operate in the kingdom principles of sowing and reaping. I give and I receive. I give and it is given unto me. I'm rising above that. I'm not seated under that. I'm seated with Christ far above all of that. There's not going to be any shortage for me. In the name of Jesus. I don't care who tries to take current cash away and put it under whatever that stuff is, digital currency.
Yes.
You know, don't let that stuff scare you. That's exactly what the devil's trying to do. You see, otherwise he'd just roll it right in right away. No, he needs your fear to do it. You know, I may be one little voice in one little church, in one little town, but I'm not alone. There are thousands of pastors who are declaring the truth, thousands of small churches, thousands of small, and we are rising up and getting connected. And when did God ever need a majority anyhow? Amen. Two on earth is pretty good for him.
Yeah.
Praise God. Whoa! Praise God. See, we're in times of deception. If you believe the deception, you won't act in faith. That's exactly what deception does. It tries to get you to go any way but faith, any way but hope, any way but love, any way but working the way God says to work and walk the way God says to walk. That's what deception is designed to do. It's to distract you. It's to put fear. It's to get you, get that conversation that's always going on in your head anyways. It's trying to reroute it and reroute it to things that aren't true. Why? Because the truth will make you free. He doesn't want you free. He wants you subservient to him. I'm talking about the devil. Why do we have to talk about the devil in church? Because he's real, and this is where we get our marching orders. You're certainly not going to get it from the news. Yeah, right. That's where you get offended and scared and concerned about things that you can do nothing about. But I'll tell you something, prayers will change things. Prayer will change things. We live in all these times of, think of the deception. Large corporations are making a policy that you must be inclusive. You must, and you don't just agree with those people. You endorse them. You see, if you know who you are, you don't need anybody's endorsement. You know who you are. Jesus said to, you know, the devil said, if you're the Son of God. Jesus didn't say, what do you mean if? He knew who he was. He didn't need the devil's agreement or any. If you know who you are, you don't need the agreement or the endorsement of anybody or anything, right? But they know that they're wrong. They know that they are in sin and iniquity. They know that. That's why they need your agreement and your endorsement. You have to be pat on the back. Yeah, go after it. If that's the way you are, then that's the way. No, don't let them set the standard. The church sets the standard. The truth sets the standard. God sets the standard. He is the light of this world. And if you follow him, you won't walk in darkness. Didn't he say that? Look at that, John 8:12. Even Andy Dufresne knew that one. I'm talking about the Shawshank Redemption. Remember that? He sat down. He just did 2 weeks in the hole in solitary confinement. He comes back, and they called him Maestro because he broke into the warden's office and played all this music by Mozart. It's beautiful, and put it over the loudspeaker and everything. That earned him 2 weeks in the hole. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you've never seen the movie. Go. It's a great movie. It's a little rough, but look at it. Look at it with God's eyes. Filter it through that. You'll love it. It's one of my favorite movies ever. It's a great movie. Because the little guy wins. And the little guys win. Praise God. But Andy sits down at the table in the dining hall and said, hey, Maestro, you know, couldn't you have played something good like Hank Williams or something? And he says, they said, well, how did you make it 2 weeks in the hall? He says, I had Mr. Mozart right up here. He says, haven't you ever felt that way about music? What are you talking about? He says, hope. hope. Hope is a powerful thing. What are you talking about? Hope. He said, one of the guys said, in fact, it was Morgan Freeman. He said, let me tell you something. Hope is a dangerous thing. It has no place on the inside. He said, what do you mean? That's where it makes most sense. You know, here we live in a world that's full of deception, iniquity, fear, all kinds of things. And the devil is telling you, hope doesn't belong in this world. Hope doesn't belong in this world. It's too dark. It's too miserable. There's no way out of this thing except dying. You don't have any hope. You can't. No, no. We need to jack our hopes up as high as we can possibly get them. I'll tell you why. Because hope is a good thing. Maybe even the best of things. Praise God. We live in a world of deception, yet hope sees possibilities that faith makes happen. We live in a world of iniquity that is abounding. I mean, just look. And the iniquity abounds, and the love of many wax cold because iniquity abounds. Jesus said these things. He told us about these things. They're happening. Yet, hope sees possibility. We live in a world that is filled with fear, expecting the worst possible scenario, like everything's in the world's going to go, and they give you visions of people walking around like the Holocaust again, and look, that's the devil's picture. That's what he's holding. Wherever you look, that's what he wants you to just see that. We have an inner picture that tells us the truth.
Amen.
Of who we are.
That's right.
What we have, all we can do, and where we are seated. I'm telling you something. Hope sees through all of that fear. Hope sees the possibilities that faith makes happen. Booyah. Praise God. You with me today?
Amen.
Jesus told us about these times. The Apostle Paul told us. In fact, the Apostle Paul told us about this, these times. He said this, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. He said, for the time shall come when they, who's they? Well, could it be talking about the world? It could be talking about the church, too. They will not endure sound doctrines, but will heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, fiction. I don't mind good stories that are true about people that are basically testimonies to God. But he's talking about fables, man. They're getting up there talking about fables that do nothing, that are from nothing and will amount to nothing and do nothing. They'll turn their ears from the truth. We have record of powerful faith ministers who have forsaken 35 years of covenant relationship and gone out and endorsed Antichrist politicians. Just... How in the world can they do that? Then there's a big crowd that renounces tithing. They say it's under the law, it's not of God, take all my teachings and throw them out. No, I've got New Testament scripture on it. I've got Old Testament scripture on it long before the law ever existed. Because Abraham tithed, gave all the tithe to Melchizedek, and Jesus is the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And the only record we have about Melchizedek is that he received tithes.
Right.
Give me that stuff. You see, if the devil can get the blessing of God and the avenues of God of blessing out of your life, then he wins. You got to believe the truth. Jesus told, Peter told us about these times. Men will come scoffing after their own lusts. John, the apostle, told us about the spirit of Antichrist. That is prevalent in the world. That's the primary spirit that is behind socialism, the spirit of Antichrist. It is It is atheistic socialism, and socialism is nothing but communism with a mask on it. But what did John say? See, hope sees where the world can't see. Hope sees the possibilities that faith makes happen. And John summed that up. He says, but greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. And I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what the devil says. I care what God says. Praise God. So, God knows what lies ahead. Nothing takes him by surprise. He knew all of these things are happening. He knows all these things are coming. And here's what you got to believe. God is love. If there's anything that God is, he is love. And if he knows the future and he loves you, believe me, he has prepared you and equipped you for anything that you have to face.
Praise God.
You can, like Beretta used to say, you can take that to the bank. He has equipped you. So what is that? Rebounding with the word. Oh, okay. In the name of Jesus, you got to rise up. See, how do you know you're walking by faith? How do you know you're walking this life of faith? Is when something comes up on the inside of you and says, no! In the name of Jesus, I declare the word of God. I declare his word into this situation. I bring his presence. My hope reaches up and I have access to everything behind that veil. His presence, his power, his presence melts everything like wax. Devil, you better get out of here. Symptoms? Get out of here before you start melting like wax. Whatever it is in your life, you can talk to it. You have been empowered to do that. But if you just get afraid and go, what's happening? The confession of your faith. You're not making the confession unto salvation, whether it's healing, deliverance, safety, sound. You're not doing that. So what happened? A whole lot of nothing where you and God are concerned, but the enemy's won. That's what he's done to the church. That's why you got drag queens and denominations and things and perversion, perversion, perversion. But it started a long time ago when they started perverting, saying that abortion is okay and da 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 da. You know, you gotta. Ever since I knew anything was the 60s, and they said God died. And I'm going, really? When I was 16 years old, I became an atheist. I mean, he did die. No, he didn't. He is alive and well on the planet heaven. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But here's the thing is, when those things come, we need to be so filled with the word of God that fear doesn't have a place to start in our heart. That's a good one. Fear does not have a place to start in my heart. Offense does not have a place to start in my heart. You know why Jesus told us to forgive? Because unforgiveness interferes with your faith, and faith pleases him. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. He wants your victory. He wants your prosperity. He wants your victory in every area of your life. That's why he says, don't walk. If you have aught against any, forgive. So that your Father in heaven, you'll restore that fellowship with him, and you won't lock his blessings out of your life. It's really important. Anger and strife have no place to start in my heart. Unbelief and doubt have no place to start in my heart. Offense, lust, none of these things have any place to start in my heart. You see, the word of God has like this pounding effect. It has this sudden it's an authoritative presence of the word of God. And when you fill your heart with the word of God, it starts to force out the things that are opposed to the Word of God. They can't coexist. How about that for a bumper sticker? These can't coexist. God, devil. Sin, righteousness. Love, hate. Fear, faith. You need to write that down for me or something. We got to get a bumper sticker out of the church here. These things cannot coexist. Oh, dear. Save them, Lord. Save them, Lord. We got to get deception at its inception. Boy, I'm coming up with a lot of rhymes today. The best poet in the world is God. Read Psalms. Spirit of God's here. Amen. Well, let's get to this thing. When situations come, I'm going to read some stuff today here because I had a whole lot of thoughts lined up. When situations come that make you want to fear and retreat. Ooh. Do you notice that we have no armor of the armor of God? You got a shield, you got a breastplate, but there's nothing in back. And if you turn like this, you're going to get shot in the back with an arrow or a spear or something. The armor's up here. We're not meant to retreat. We're not meant to be quiet. The sword is right here. It cuts the devil to pieces, and he's the one behind all of that. We need to understand these things. You know one of those songs? What is that song where heaven comes to fight for me?
Raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. You know what? When you start speaking the word of God, say, no, I'm not going to experience any shortages that the world is experiencing. I'm not going to experience all of that. No, I have a Father who is abundantly supplying all of my needs according to his riches and grace. He is not attached to this world's economy. He is not, I mean, he doesn't know. It doesn't affect him at all. The economy of heaven is faith. It just is. It is the premium of exchange in heaven and to manifest things in the earth. He needs one thing to do it. He needs hope. He needs hope. Here's what it is. It's pilots. Lori had a brother-in-law who was a pilot. But pilots will tell you this, that there are laws that govern, particularly jets. He was a jet pilot. Jet pilots, and one of the laws is the faster you go, the easier it is to go fast. It's the faster you go, the easier it is to go fast. So what you do when you're on the ground, you give it everything, you give it all the power it's got, and you get up until you reach a speed that creates lift. And then you go, it goes up, you get a positive trajectory of ascent, and then you get to a place where you turn down the power because you have more than enough power to sustain and maintain the situation. So when you're sitting still in a 60-ton airplane, wondering how this thing is going to get off the ground. You know, put it this way, an airplane, a jet would have flown just as well in Jesus' day as it does now if we had the same materials and did the same thing, the same technology. It's always been there. You have something in your heart called hope. God gave it to you. Jesus is the hope of glory, which is Christ in you. All right? So you have hope on the inside of you. It is a, Peter said, it is a living hope. This hope is alive. It's powerful. It's the life of eternity. It's eternity is built into the hope that is in you. It cannot dissipate. That means it's eternal. You have something called hope. And so what you do is you jack that hope up as high as you can get it. Jack it up. If the word says, yes, okay, you got both eyes, both ears, all of my thoughts in my mind. I'm hoping, God. I hope. Not the way the Bible says, well, if it happens, it happens. No, that's world's hope. This hope is based on truth. It's based on fact. Fact. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to read from the Amplified version. It says, now, in verse 1, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. When it is fact, it belongs to you. Faith perceives as real fact what? The things we hope for. So here you are. You are Mr. Hope, not Bob. You are Mr. Hope, not Miss Hope. You are Mr. Hope, and you are managing your team on the football field. All right? And things aren't going well. And all the team is just killing you. They've intercepted 5 passes. They've taken out some of your guys, whatever. But you are Mr. Hope. And you just stand there and you say, I don't care what it looks like. I hope. Now, on the bench, you have an entire team, a really good team on the bench. And that team is the spirit of faith. And you keep your hope out there and you keep, and that bench wants to get in the game. That bench can't wait to get in. Remember that song, Put Me In, Coach. I'm ready to play. Well, it's, see, God wrote those anyhow. But here he is. He's just full of hope. He's got confidence in his guys. He's got this, that, and he's got a whole bench here of faith-filled, spirit of faith that just are gritting their teeth. They can't wait to get in that game. But they can't get in if he just says, oh, okay, well, he throws down the earphones, everything, his game plan, and everything just. But he picks it up. He says, I don't care what it looks like. I hope. I have hope in God. My hope is in the truth. It's based on fact. That's all the spirit of faith needs to hear. Get in there! And all of a sudden, they start taking out the opposition. They're just taking them out, and wiping their nose and everything. They're wiping the field with them. Gone. And they start moving, helping you move the ball downfield. Just like an airplane, you get to a certain point and all of a sudden, faith takes over. And you don't need all of that. You don't need as much power because you've hit a place where the kingdom principles take over and God's presence and God's reality, making it real fact. Real fact, what is not revealed to your senses. So if you go by your senses, you will lose. If you go by your emotions, you'll lose. If you go by what people say, you'll lose. If you go by the forecasts and climates, you'll lose. But if you go by what God says, which are not revealed to your senses, whew, you're going to hit the target.
Amen.
And you will find out that God's word cannot not work. Oh! Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. I'm going to read you a story here about hope. You know, I watch these shows on TV. You know, I like nature shows. And this one was The Food That Built America. You ever see those on the History Channel? Well, there's one such story of a man, such a man who hoped against hope. His name was James. He was born in Ontario, Canada in 1874 and immigrated to Buffalo, New York in 1902, taking a position as secretary and treasurer of the Shefford Cheese Company. Surprised they weren't in Wisconsin, but this was in Buffalo, New York. So he became a partner in the company the following year, but the partners abruptly dissolved the agreement while he was on a business trip in Chicago, either to inspect a local branch of the company or supervise it, whatever it is. But they terminated that contract, and he found himself stranded in Chicago when the agreement dissolved, which meant that that branch no longer belonged to Shefford Cheese, and neither did he. They just cut ties, and he's left and stranded in Chicago. James used his remaining $65 in capital to rent a horse and wagon and established his own business of buying cheese wholesale and selling it to local grocers. A year later, he would write to a friend, "I haven't got a comparatively large business now, but I know what I can do in less than 5 years. I am honest in saying I expect to have one of the best wholesale cheese businesses in Chicago." Time went on. His business began to falter. Company tradition has it that at this time, James decided to make God his partner. Ding, 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 ding. That was in 1907. As the business improved in the next few years, he brought his four brothers in, Charles, Frederick, Norman, and John Henry, into the business. In 1914, James opened his first cheese manufacturing company in Stockton, Illinois. That's out towards Galena. Yeah. You can pass on away if you take the scenic route. His primary problem was becoming an increasing problem and a large source of revenue loss because cheese had a very short shelf life at the grocery stores. It would become moldy in a very short period of time, and those moldy cheese portions were sent back to James' company for refunds or discounts on their future purchases. So James resolved that what he would do is take on the forces of nature and develop a process that would give cheese a longer shelf life. So he began to run an experiment after experiment after experiment after experiment after experiment, buying more machines, buying more this, da, 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 and all to no avail. Meanwhile, his company's profits continued to become as moldy as the cheese he was making. And his customers returned week after week after week with moldy cheese. James sunk the rest of his capital. This is it. It was do or die. He sunk the rest of his capital into the continued experiments, machinery, and supplies over the next 2 years with poor results. Then he developed a process which he patented in 1916 for pasteurizing cheese. There was a light of success. Things were starting to happen. How many of you know if you go into your refrigerator that you look in there, cheese is the most indestructible of all the foods in your refrigerator? The company grew quickly, even expanding into Canada in 1919. So he developed this in 1916. 3 years later, this thing took off. He's in Canada now with companies up there. James saw a large increase in business almost immediately. Then, during World War II, the U.S. government started to buy huge blocks of his cheese products for the United States Armed Forces overseas. Why? Because they knew it would keep. His company was becoming a huge success. His efforts, experiments, foresight, which many thought to be nothing more than was wishful thinking, grew out of a discovery that set him apart from all other cheese companies, gave him a patent which would remain his possession, though it was fought over in legal challenges and court battles. He retained the patent that he had worked for with the last dollars of his fledgling company. The James continued to bring innovative methods of processing and manufacturing food products and served as the company's president until his death in 1953. The Shefford Field Cheese Company in Buffalo, New York, however, who left James stranded in Chicago with no way back, is a name that no one knows today. But James, on the other hand, began a business that carried an expiration date on everything it shipped out. And amid money shortages, faltering markets, high losses, James found out that when you make God your partner, you can power your hope beyond what others can on their own. I mean, what makes a guy, I mean, there was not even a promise that he could even discover anything that would help cheese stay long. There was no hope. But he believed he had hope against hope. And he made God his partner. You know, when you make, I don't know, that was not a common expression back in 1905 or 1907 when he made God his partner. That wasn't really what we would call a church thing. I mean, at that time, if you were a Christian, they looked down on business. Didn't they? There was a lot of religious tradition that just absolutely. So to make, the point is, to make God your partner, things must have been pretty desperate. But he hoped against hope. When you make God your partner, you can power your hope beyond what others can on their own. Because hope gives way to faith, and faith works through love, and love never fails. The Shefford Cheese Company is a name that has long since passed away with the days of horse and buggies, moldy cheese, and business ideas that come and go. But today, the company James began with $65, a company that today provides tens of thousands of jobs and has an annual revenue of over $12 billion. A company that carries a name all of us know, and I don't know of anyone in America who has never enjoyed a piece of James's cheese. His company still carries his name and the name of the man who found a way when there was no way, because he found a partner who knew no other way other than to be the partner and helper of James Kraft. Have you ever been in a hopeless situation? Hope will help you dig deep. Hope will keep you focused on what really matters. Hope will keep you, your dream alive. It'll keep your vision alive. Hope will make a place for faith to make it real. Because God is real. And faith is of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes. Praise God. Amen. Lori and I go to Green Lake, Wisconsin a lot, and it used to be the Baptist Assembly up there, and there's a hall up there, a big, big meeting hall that Kenneth Hagin preached in, too. And even while the Baptists still owned it, Kenneth Hagin preached there, and it is called Kraft Hall. The things that he did for the churches and the areas and the needs in his through that business and the foundations that company had formed are just amazing. And they keep on giving and keep on giving and keep on giving out to people. But just to encourage you, don't quit. Amen. See, you're not defeated. You're not finished when you're defeated. You're finished when you quit. Yes. If you don't quit, you can't lose. Because faith is the victory. Peter felt like quitting. Jesus felt like quitting. In Mark chapter 14, he told Peter, James, and John, he's in the garden, and he said this. He said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrow unto death. Tarry here and watch." And what did he do? He went a little further. This means, this is King James. My soul is being crushed by sorrow, is what that means. Sorrow to the point of death. But he kept going a little further. You just got to keep going. Keep going. That's what hope does. Hope makes a way when there is no way. And it gives you light in a world of darkness. It gives you truth in a world of deception. It tells you that you are the righteousness of God in Christ in the midst of where iniquity abounds. And it'll give you his love to overcome any fear in your life. Jesus knew that God loved him. Jesus knew his Father loved him. And he loves you the same way. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Praise God. Is Jesus good?
Amen.
Say this, Father, you're my Father. You love me. And I love you. I'm learning how to love you more. I'm learning your ways. I'm learning that despite what I see, despite what I hear, despite what I feel, your truth prevails because it's real fact, even though it's not revealed to my senses. I will walk in your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. You receive that? Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Amen. You're dismissed. If you need prayer for anything else,